Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Today, I want to bring a message entitled Renewed, the Best Version of You. Say, Lord, thank you. I'm renewed, and I am the best version of myself. You know, that's an interesting phrase because it's just one of you. I know that, one of us individually. But yet, you know, we change over the years. And you know it because sometimes you meet, you'll see a friend you haven't seen for a long time, and they knew a previous version of yourself. And they may bring up something, talk about something. It's okay. It's all right. But, you know, you're not even that person anymore in terms of how you act, how you think, what you believe. But the memories are still there. And that's all right. But sometimes, you know, I got friends who call me Rocky. You know, if you hear that, that's an old friend or a family member going back at least 50 years. Okay. So if you hear me, call me Rocky. I got a friend call me Reverend Rocky, you know. It's okay. It's fine. And that was my nickname my parents gave me back then. Or sometimes people remember me from the Kappa Alpha Psi. You know, I was a noop. I'm still a noop, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We do the handshake and all that. You know, they want to talk about the old days and go back, you know, and I don't want to do that. I ain't going back. Amen. I mean, it's fun to reminisce a little bit, but some folk are actually still in the past. Because the best version of them was 20 years ago. The best version of themselves was 40 years ago. That's all they got. You know what I'm saying? Because today is bad. Today is awful. It can be better. But listen, without Christ, there is not much hope for the future. And so people get stuck in the past because that's the best version of themselves. But the best version of me is today, right now. The best version of you is when? Right now, today. And that's because of the scripture we're going to take today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Okay? It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen, somebody. Outward person. A man is a generic term here. The outward person is perishing, but the inward person is being renewed day by day. Say, Lord, thank you. I am being renewed day by day. Say, Lord, thank you. I don't feel like it sometimes in my body, but in my heart and in my life, I'm being renewed day by day. Now, this is a matter of fact. It's a matter of science, what Paul said. Because the physical body, you know, we are, you know, declining, we're changing, we're, you know, decaying. One version says we're decaying, you know. Things are changing. You know, we get older, obviously. But yet the physical condition has no bearing on your heart. It should not have any bearing on your personality, on your outlook. Of course, you know, things happen. We think differently. But what Paul is saying is so important for us to focus on. And to be renewed, you have to focus on what God is doing on the inside in your whole life, all right? Now, here's a question. What is renewal? Let's talk about this term. We know what it means. We have our definitions of it. Let's look at the Bible definition in the Bible Greek language has to say about the word renewal. Now, the word renewal is the Greek word anakainahu. Anakainahu is the Greek word for what we say renew or renewal. And it's a combination of two words, ana, which means to cause to grow up, and eneos, to make new. And those are embedded in that Greek word. And that's a good thought, that the basic meaning of renewal is to cause to grow up, to cause to make new. That's very encouraging right there. So when God says to us, I want to help you renew, he's saying, I want to cause you to grow up. So now we stop growing, what, 18 years of age, 19 years of age, physically stop growing. But we never stop growing spiritually. We shouldn't stop growing in our heart, in our character, in the grace of God. That word also speaks of new strength and vigor given. Say, Lord, thank you for new strength and vigor that you give to me. It also means to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. So the old version of us, I mean, the oldest version of us before Christ was corrupt, sinful, lost, desperate, all that. And these are all definitions from the Strong's Concordance, okay? When you look up the word, you'll find these definitions in there. And also the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Now, so I'm giving you this because I want you to really appreciate what God is doing in this renewal. Now, again, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the latter part says, so the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, here's an important distinction I want to make with you about this word from the Greek dictionary. This is a word that this phrase, being renewed, in grammar is called the passive voice. And the passive voice, well, first of all, the active voice is like being acted upon. So, for example, if we say that Johnny kicked the ball, that's an active voice. That is a verb form. It's active. He kicked the ball. If we say the ball was kicked by Johnny, that's a passive voice. Now, I'm saying all that just to say this. When the Bible says inward man is being renewed, and it's a passive voice, it's saying, you don't do it. That is, the passive voice is that which is acted upon. So when Paul said inward man is being renewed, he's not saying you renew yourself. He's saying God is renewing you. It's passive voice. You don't do it. God is acting upon us. Amen, somebody. Get a hold to that. Because we try to make ourselves better. We tried stuff. We always trying stuff. We try all kinds of stuff. Try diets and all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got these books. Somebody lost a whole bunch of weight. And they got a picture on the cover, you know. And then 2 years later, they all blow back up again. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that active voice is like, you're doing the best you can. But the passive voice is just saying that in the grammar, in the Greek tense here, is that it is you are being renewed. Say, I am being renewed. Which by definition is you're not doing it. Now, what you are doing is getting in position for God to help you. That's an important part, getting in position for God to make the difference. So God does renewing. Because you cannot renew yourself. Now, here's a scripture from Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Again, I also learned that the Apostle Paul was the only one who used the word renewed. No one else. No one in the scripture used the word renewed. So Paul, it was a Greek word. He's the one that began to use it in this way. You know, Apostle Paul had something called revelation, which meant that he heard directly from God. Paul wrote scripture. Now, what he wrote at the time, he didn't think of the scripture, but later on, it became scripture. Scripture meaning that it was recognized as God-inspired words. Even Peter, in his epistle, referred to Paul's writing as scripture. Now, listen, there are people today who got a big problem with Paul. They say Paul was all, I won't say what he was. They just say stuff. Because people don't want to deal with the stuff Paul taught. They don't want to deal with stuff he said by the grace of God, hold them accountable. You know what I'm saying? Now, Paul wasn't perfect, no man is. But the thing is, I'm telling you, God spoke through Paul. Paul wrote scripture. And so when he was inspired to then take the word renew and then to reveal by the Spirit these insights and these revelations on renew, it's helping all of us. It has The whole church has been helped ever since this was written. Amen? All right, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Again, Paul writing, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the word renew again. Only Paul uses the word renew this way. So he said, for example, don't lie to each other. That should seem obvious, you know, but some folk just can't stop lying. You notice that? Some of them are liars. They just lie. Some people lie when the truth be easier. They lie even when it's easy to tell the truth, because they got the liars. Because that's what's in their heart. So Paul said, don't lie. Since you have put off the old man. So that lying is part of the old nature. And even believers in Christ who aren't renewed in their minds have old behaviors that just keep going and going and going. So when you're kind of puzzled as to why Christians or so-called Christians act a certain way, understand that they've not been renewed in knowledge. They've not been renewed in their mind. I hope they're saved. I mean, you don't even know sometimes if folks are genuinely saved. We don't judge people. But I'm like, man, you always do stuff like this. Like, come on now. But everybody's saved now. Amen. Come on. Leave it alone. Everybody's saved. Everybody's saved, look like, you know. But oh, you sure, boy, that thing is quacking, that duck. You know the old saying is, if it look like a duck, walk like a duck, quack like a duck, he's a Christian. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a Christian, all right? So I became a Christ follower, amen. But the point is, so important to make here, that renewal is what God does, that we get in position for God to do it. Even putting off the old man, we can't put off that old nature, but if we say, Jesus, help me, Jesus, save me, Jesus, deliver me, then he will act on us, and he will put off that old man. And once the Lord does it for you and you know it's has been done, it changes your mindset. You know, there are things I do today because I love God. There are things I don't do not because I couldn't do those things. I don't want to. I don't have a desire anymore because I've been changed. My favorite, you know, we all got favorite songs, and one of my favorite songs, I got a playlist of all kinds of playlists, and one of my songs I go to sometimes, that song by Tremaine Hawkins, Changed. Y'all can hear it now, can't you? You can hear it right now, can't you? You can hear it right now. You know what I'm saying? Well, I put that on sometime, and then the live version, man, she goes there. I mean, this goes in, you know? He goes in. And that's exactly how I feel, you know? And so, not what I used to be and all that. All the whole thing, you know, the whole thing. That speaks to what God has done. He has acted upon us. And I'm just asking God to act upon people's hearts. Let them, Lord, open their hearts up that you can act. Because people are trying to make changes, and they just keep going, stumbling and falling back because they think they can do it. They just can't. Amen? All right. So let's talk about this. Now, renewal is the secret to endurance. Say, renewal is the secret to endurance. This is a phrase from Barclay Commentary. Let me read to you this passage. It's on the screen also from Barclay. He says, all through life, it must happen that one's bodily strength fades away. But all through life, it ought to happen that in one's soul keeps going. Read it again. All through life, it must happen that one's bodily strength fades away. But all through life, it ought to happen that a that one's soul keeps going. All right, the A's, typo, okay. The sufferings which leave one with a weakened body may be the very things which strengthen the sinews of his soul. Sinews are muscles and tendons and things. From a physical point of view, life may be a slow but inevitable slipping down the slope. That may be, you know, it is. Okay. But from a spiritual point of life, there's a climbing up the hill that leads to the presence of God. Amen. And that's his commentary on the text, that the outward man is perishing, the inward is renewed day by day. So while there is slipping down the slope on the physical level, there is a climbing up the hill in the spiritual. That's good, isn't it? So let's talk about how to be renewed. And we won't take this just one today, and we'll come back and finish this up later. But how to be renewed. And there's so much here. But there's, I'm going to take these the letters of the word renew, R-E-N-E-W. And I want to use these to highlight some key points to how we are renewed. First of all, R represents rest and repent. Say, Lord, thank you. Help me. Rest and repent. E stands for experience fullness. Say experience fullness. N stands for never cease prayer. Say that. N stands for that. E stands for endure, cast cares on the Lord. Say endure, cast cares on the Lord. And W stands for wait on exchange of strength. Say that. All right. These are all topics we'll get into, but today let's talk about rest and repent. Rest and repent. What does this mean? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10 says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So when you rest, the writer says, you cease from your own works as God did from his, referring to creation. You know, when God on 6 days did creation or recreation, whatever your interpretation might be, the Bible says on the seventh day he rested. But listen to me. God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, listen, we do rest because we are tired. But in this text, he's talking about resting because you're finished. It's very important to get this. So that he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his own works as God did from his. So you cease from your own works because you finished. But some of y'all never get finished. Even stuff that's finished, you don't finish it. We keep working on things, doing things, or beating a dead horse. Horse is dead. Stop beating it. That's the point, right? What we do is we get busy doing stuff. Now listen, we believe in being busy and doing stuff. But to rest, you got to come to a point where you're finished. Even if you don't feel like it's finished, you got to call some things finished. Because you've gone as far as you need to go on some things. Let's help somebody here. Now, listen, I'm talking as a person. I am a recovering perfectionist. I'm recovering, okay? Used to be, I would labor over stuff. I have projects, for example, a design project. I got to choose colors for it. You know, there are 16.7 million colors in a palette, color palette. I got to find three. Just three. I'm like, no, oh, I got these three. I don't know about those. And so you sit there fooling around. I'm going to spend hours just choosing three colors. Y'all laughing at me. Y'all been there someplace else now. Come on something else. And I realized, man, there are not only three colors that will do. I'm going to pick three and go with them. I'm finished with that. Finished choosing colors. And they're good colors. Now, somebody won't like it somewhere. Well, you design on your project, choose your color for your project. See, so the point is, and the thing is, when you make a good choice, it actually is better than you think, but it's something in us that doesn't want to rest. See, part of the reason we don't renew is we never finish. We never rest. We keep going at things and going at things and going over things until we just basically wear ourselves out without improving the thing. I told you oftentimes, many times, the story that I had a problem with a driver's test. I told you before. And the question that said, if there's a four-way stop and four cars arrive at the same time to the stop, who goes first? I'm like, you can't arrive at the same time. That's impossible. Somebody got there first. Which is actually true. You can't arrive at the same time. And so I got the question wrong. On the basis I was overthinking the whole thing, see? The answer is the one, the car to the right. I'm like, I guess I'm stuck on you. Can't, how can you arrive at the same time? Somebody got there first. Somebody got there first. That goes beyond not resting. That goes into obsessive compulsive syndrome, some kind of OCD. That's what that is. That's something else going on there. I know that too. Amen. We know these things. But see, these things happen because we never rest. So I learned a long time ago, actually, I learned to finish stuff. I get done with projects. I get done with people. I'm done. Won't talk about that anymore. I'm done with these things. So when you finish, you can find renewal. You can rest. But if you don't finish things, or don't deem things as finished, then we can never come to what the scripture said again. For he who has entered in his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. And God rested because he was finished. Now we know that we don't do things perfectly. And there is the burden of getting it right. We understand that. We do the best we can. But the best you can is actually enough. Say, the best I can do is enough. Doesn't matter. Say this. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. The best I can do is enough. Yeah. Finished. And, you know, we do projects and video projects. Had one recently where we did a project, and the stipulation was, now this is a low budget project, which means you don't get to change it 10 times once it's submitted. We'll do two changes for this budget. And always somebody said, well, we ought to change that. Okay, well, that's gonna cost you. And suddenly the thing is fine like it is. All of a sudden, this is great. It was good when I finished it, it was good. But there's some people around you who can't rest. You follow me? See, you've rested, you've finished. And other folk with their fidgety, you know, non-resting self want you to keep working on something, you're finished. So what you got to do is help them understand. I'm finished. But this here, this is done. It is done. And help people understand what it means. See, we're in a world of people who just don't finish stuff, man. But I'm in a world where stuff gets finished. In my world, things get done. And I rest. I go watch TV, you know what I'm saying, and take some pictures or something. Go see my wife. See what's she doing upstairs? What, I think she ain't finished. I go upstairs and she ain't finished. So I go back downstairs. You know. And sometimes she get finished, go look for me, and I'm into something, you know what I'm saying? So I hope this helps you. That's why I want to pause on this one point, because I believe it's so important that a part of renewal is to rest. And to rest means you cease from your own works. I'm not saying we leave things undone, leave things, you know, half done. Now, do the best you can. But when you've done the best you can, that's enough. Because the best I can do isn't as good as what somebody else can do. I know that. I'm comfortable with that. I've learned to be comfortable. Used to be, I would always feel bothered if I felt like something was better than what I could do. I'm done with that. That's over. That's over. Because I realized that what I was doing was good. And folk want to make you think it's not good. And I know it's good. If I like it, it's good. It's not the best out there. But so you get to a point of rest where the Lord gives you contentment. And rest, you say, okay, I'm good with this. It's not the best anybody's ever done. But Lord, it's the best I could do. Now, I will caution us, we don't want to lie to ourselves either now. If we've not done our best, you got to own that too. You got to own that. Yeah, I've been an educator and professor and teacher, and I've had students submit stuff that wasn't the best they could do. And so my job, of course, was to let them know, oh, you can do better than this, you know. And so that's our job. But, I mean, once you're all grown up, we should have the sense of knowing when we've done things correctly. All right, Psalm 4, verse 8. Here's another part of rest. The psalmist said, verse 8, New Living Translation, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. Amen. Now, I want to use this scripture to highlight the importance of sleep. I mean, physical, actual sleep. Because there's a spiritual part of rest, then there's an actual physical rest. And I believe most of us understand the importance of sleep. I mean, no lecture needed on that. But certainly we can encourage each other and ourselves, because we know that when you sleep, your body gets to renew itself. There's renewal going on in your body, in your brain, in your mind. Your brain is not understood even fully by anybody, but it's understood that when we rest, when we sleep and go into what's called that rapid eye movement, that really deep sleep, good things are happening. But we are mostly acquainted with what happens when we don't get sleep. We know what that's like. Not sleeping enough, and you know, and not sleeping well when we're sleeping and getting up and next day, and we're just like, boy, dragging, you know. And one of the things that the reports say, among many things, is there's a lack of renewal in the body and cleansing of things. And of course, there's also the psychological part where the mood is bad, you know, bad mood, you know. And so that we know. But the psalmist said, in peace I will lie down and sleep. So God wants us to sleep and be at peace. And then he even said, for you alone, Lord, keep me safe. So that, you know, when you're asleep, it's a sense of security. Because, you know, you got to trust that wherever you're sleeping is secure. As much as I enjoy travel and flying, I don't sleep good on airplanes. Some people write sleep. Me, I'm like, the mind's like, this don't make no sense. 37,000 feet, 500 miles an hour. in the air, you know what I'm saying? In zero or below zero temperatures outside the window, it's chaos out there. But I sleep, but not well, because I don't feel as safe. The airplane is safe now, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's something in me is like, this doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Air pocket, yeah, well, that's another issue, you know. Yeah, you know. You know what I'm saying? Now, I learned a trick about air pocket and turbulence on a flight. The trick is, look at the frequent flyers. If they get nervous, you should be nervous, okay? The plane is shaking, and folks still reading the paper and going on, don't worry about it. But when knowledgeable flyers look up like, then you should be concerned. All right. But I'm just saying all this to encourage us. You need sleep. You know this. And my wife got the secret, man. Her thing is like darkness and quiet and cool. Cool, dark, and quiet. I need light, heat, and some noise. But hey, married 42 years, we got it all figured out, okay? We got it worked out. So, and you know, Tom Brady, who retired, who we have to grudgingly say is the greatest quarterback of all time. Oh, I hate saying that. But truth is truth. You know what I'm saying? Dude is the best to ever play that position. No question about it. And he has a thing. He's, what, 45 this year? He's 45, I think, 45. And his thing is like, he sleeps in darkness and cold. Everything Pat does, he does. You know, he learned from Pat. He must have called Pat and said, what's your secret? She told him, hey, you need some darkness. You need some quiet. You need some cold. But it's correct, though. So I'm saying all that because I want us to, you know, the topic is renewal, the best version of you. So to be the best version of yourself, you're going to have good rest, good sleep. However you do that, get it done. Amen? Amen. Now let's touch on the second word here of this statement. Again, we're talking about how to be renewed. The R word is rest and repent. Say repent. Now, this may seem totally off the wall, but it's not. It's not. It fits right in this important part of the message. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent, then, turn to God, so that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, here, the apostles are preaching to sinners. This is not a scripture to believers. But we'll see the application to all of us in a moment. But the principle is, repent, turn to God, get the sins blotted out, and then times of refreshing or renewal may come. Now, we take the word repent all the wrong ways. I mean, you know, it's just a word we don't hear anymore. It's a word that if we hear it, sometimes we hear it in judgmental ways. A person says, repent, sinner, you must repent. And that's not untrue. It's just that when people say it too hard and too long, they the ones need to repent. That's a common thing you learn about people and preachers, you know. What they preach hard about is what they into. You sinners, you adulterers, you better stop your mess. Oh, what you got going on? Because people under stuff try to preach it off themselves. So, you know, I mean, I've learned it. I haven't lived that part, but thank God. But I've observed and for years and years, those who preach against this, against that, in a hard way, in a judgmental and demeaning to people, they got the issue. They're into it. And so that, all right, enough of that. But to the context here, he's talking, he is preaching to unbelievers. Now, here's one to believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, so that you might suffer
you might suffer loss from us in nothing. All right, context. Now, in the first letter of the Corinthians, to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote some very difficult things in that first letter. He even referenced that in this letter, dealing with some sinful situations in that church, and even called for a man to be dealt with, you know, by God in a very strong way. And so now Paul comes back after report came back and said, I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So sometimes, you know, we correct people. The right spirit of correction is not to condemn and throw people away. It's to encourage them to change. So then the word repent, the best definition of repent in all dictionaries you read is change your mind. Say change your mind. Repent simply means change your mind. And we can go in that whole scenario and think about, look at ourselves and realize how much trouble we got into not changing our mind. How much difficulty we endured not changing our mind. And then how better things became when we did what? Change our mind. Repent. And so what Paul is saying here in the situation he was speaking to in that church, that they were made sorry, felt bad, if you will, for being called out for something. But then the person in question realized, you know, I was doing wrong. And so I should have felt bad about it. You know, feeling guilty isn't always a false thing. Sometimes we feel guilty because we did something. And our conscience says, that was wrong what you did. And so we respond to our conscience and respond to God. And, well, when that's done and the mind changed, he says, the sorrow led to repentance. Now, that's a whole message by itself. Repentance is it's a process, not a thing. It's a process. And repentance, of course, changing your mind is in there. But the whole process includes changing your mind, turning around, facing a different direction, willingness to do something different, and then doing something different, responding to God and to people. Sometimes repentance, for example, toward God, well, toward people, use people, because people are the test. You know, the Bible says, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen and don't love your brothers and sisters who you do see? So, you know, sometimes when people mess up with people come back. The one who did wrong come back sometime like this. Well, I'm sorry if you felt that way. No repentance. I mean, somebody actually did something to somebody. And most they can say is, well, I'm sorry that you feel like that. That's a person who's not repented. Mind's not changed. Repentance is like, I'm sorry I said this and that to you. I'm sorry I did this or that. See, go straight to the actual item that was done. I mean, if it was a sin now, come on now, that's a whole different discussion. Folks say, well, you all repent of what? What you did, what you said. Was it a sin, what I did, what I said? Or did you just not like it? You not liking it doesn't make it a sin. Say it now. If I don't like something, somebody does, that doesn't make it a sin. People miss it all the time. You hurt me. Well, leave that. That's a whole bag of worms right there. The point, though, is you got to understand the fact that God is unconcerned about sin, not your preferences, not your feelings. So that when you repent, be sure that it's over something sinful. And you can also certainly help people. You know, you don't want to offend people all kind of ways, but don't receive a spirit of condemnation or guilt over stuff that people say to you that are not even, wasn't even sinful and wrong. That's a big problem today. All right. But to the actual point here, understand that, yeah, when we do sin, in Corinthians, Go back, the first letter. I won't go to what happened. It was bad what happened, y'all. It was bad. And yet God helped that man. He recovered from that, as bad as it was. And so that Paul came back and said, okay, now, so this sorrow led to repentance. And repentance then caused a renewal to happen. So then to be renewed is about rest and repent. Change your mind. So then what prevents repentance? Watch this. What keeps a person from repenting? Well, of course, not changing one's mind. But where does that come from? Well, pride. Pride. Too proud to admit I was wrong, I sinned. Too proud to just confess to something as plainly obvious. Or rebellion. You know, rebellion is being against the established order of something. So rebellion is like the police officer, you know, is duly appointed to do his job and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And yet some folk just hate all cops because of the bad ones out there, when most cops are actually very, very good. In fact, no doubt about that. But then that spirit of rebellion come on people. And so they see a police officer and they start showing out in front of them. Now, cops should have restraint too now. I believe they, you know, and most of them do, you know, they should. Because there are people who in rebellion who just do stuff to be doing stuff. And their character keeps coming out. So that will prevent repentance. Also, stubbornness. We know about that one. It's being stubborn. Bad habits. The force of habit causes a person to not be able to repent, to change their mind. Because the habits are so ingrained. But see, the point is everything and everyone can change. Say, I can change. I can change my mind. I love it. I love learning. And in my work, both in ministry and in media and all that, I'm often learning things and finding out knowledge, new knowledge, and realizing that my understanding of that was incomplete or incorrect. And it's wonderful. I love to say I stand corrected. I love that. I love it. Because, you know, why would somebody want to be wrong all the time, be wrong about anything, when one can get a better information and stand corrected, you know? And so we should get used to and accustomed to and welcome. The Bible says reproofs of correction are the way of life. Just be sure that you understand the spirit of it and don't run up on people trying to correct people and you don't know nothing about nothing. Amen. Come on now. That's a big one. Now everybody's an expert, you know what I'm saying? All right. Now, if you notice, I mentioned what prevents repentance. I mentioned rebellion, pride, bad habits. I did not mention the devil. Devil got nothing to do with you not repenting, not changing your mind. Because the devil cannot do anything that people don't allow. Now, maybe you disagree with that. But I know the devil can't do anything that people don't allow. And so that's why we can't blame the devil. In James, when James talked about, you know, don't say when you're tempted, I'm tempted by God and all that. You know, he didn't say the devil. Nowhere is devil mentioned in that whole chapter. He said, we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. The devil isn't mentioned there, see? So we all that devil stuff going around. Now, devil's real now, no doubt about it. But as it concerns repentance, that's something we have to come into by the grace of God. Amen? So next time, we're going to go further. One more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. We'll finish right here. It says, Paul wrote to Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That was mentioned there in the case of people who won't come to their senses. Now, why would it say here, if perhaps God will grant repentance? Well, why wouldn't God always give repentance? Why would it say perhaps if God would grant repentance? Well, because some folk are not sincere. They're not genuine. When they say, I'm sorry, I repent, they don't even mean it. And God knows it. And so because of that, God doesn't grant repentance. In other words, they have not been restored or renewed because God knows that they are not sincere. They are not serious. They're just using words. They're not serious. You know, we know sometimes we've dealt with people who are not serious, amen, who say things and all that kind of, and you know by fruit or by the Spirit, he ain't serious. So I'm not changing my position because this person is not serious. They're trying to play me, and I've been a player. You can't play a player. Amen, somebody? Now, it sounds kind of harsh. Maybe it's a man thing. I don't know. I've seen some women go pretty strong, too, now on this stuff. You know what I'm saying? But especially fathers. Fathers don't play that. Fathers don't go for none of that kind of stuff, you know. Fake tears and all that kind of thing. And some mamas don't either now. Be fair about it. But here the context of the whole point here is that we have to be patient and help people, try to help people. And it's difficult to be patient when people are just being so silly all the time. But you keep trying. At some point, trying to correct those who are in opposition, opposition to God, opposition to truth, opposition to what the Scripture says. And then when people break through, it's a wonderful thing. And sometime people break through. I broke through. That's why I can't be too hard on folk. I was one of those hard-headed, obstinate types before I came to Christ. So, Father, thank you for reminding us today of so many things that I'm confident that many of us in here already knew. But, Lord, stir up in us that pure mind of remembrance, Lord God. Lord, thank you that we're renewed and becoming and really living the best version of ourselves. And we do not lose heart, Lord God, even though outward situations deteriorate and perish and change. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. And thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom.